This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you ka-ching. Ka-ching. Come on, guys, we talked about this. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. And once you start selling, Shopify makes getting paid simple by instantly accepting every type of payment. What I love about Shopify is how, no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. You want to grow big? Shopify. You want to grow small? Shopify. You want to grow medium rare? Also Shopify. Shopify powers 10% of all commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast for November 18th. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm alongside my faithful wards, Ron Richards.
I am no fucking ward.
And Josh Flanagan, my number one ward. Every week at iFanboy.com, one of us picks their favorite book from the stack of books they buy and anoint it with the highly coveted Pick of the Week title. This week, who's got the pick? This guy's got the pick. And this guy's pick is Superman, also Superman number one. Let's talk about Superman.
Would you script that?
No, I did not. I'm professional. All-Star Superman was my pick of the week. Superman is one of my favorite characters. As Ron pointed out last week, as a born and bred DC guy, I would say he's probably in the top three behind Batman and Robin, who are like 1-1A. But Superman, the books are not something I have to sort of obsessively collect like I do Batman, like Ron does with X-Men. I sort of can drop it if the quality goes bad, and that's more often the case than not. What I tend to look for in a Superman book is I like to have the sort of feeling I get from watching Superman the movie or Superman 2 or a really good episode of Smallville or something, the sort of sense of awe, wonder that I get, you know, from Superman. It's a sort of a classic character Superman is supposed to inspire awe even from his fellow superheroes. So that's what I'm sort of looking for in a Superman book, and I rarely get it. But there's a two-page spread right in the beginning. It's also Superman number one that sort of did it for me, and I knew right away this would be my pick of the week, no matter how it turned out, which means I probably have low standards, but there we are. This book is from the All-Star line, which is sort of DC's answer to Marvel's really successful Ultimate line. And what that means is sort of allows the creators to run free with the characters and not worry about all the continuity problems that often crop up when you're following characters for 40 or 50 years. And this is the second book. The first book was All-Star Batman and Robin, which I think is kind of weird.
That was my pick of the week, but not really.
Well, that was in July.
That was my angry pick of the week.
Was it?
Yeah, I had it because I read a bunch of books, and this was just awful. And I was like, Jim Lee and Frank Miller, and I was like, what the hell is this? Because it was just like another origin of Robin that didn't need to happen.
Was it like an anti-pick of the week?
It was my anti. It was the one and only anti-pick of the week I've ever done.
Wow. Well, that's a weird book because it's sort of like there's too much Sin City in it.
Well, what was the point?
Yeah. Well, what's the point of any of them, really?
Well, yeah, well, I mean, the same can be said for this book. I mean, what's the point of doing another interpretation of Superman?
Well, it's
It's not so much another. It's not another interpretation. It's just Superman without the baggage. It's not.
It's absolutely an interpretation.
Well, no, I don't think so at all. And it's not. It's not an origin. It's not an origin at all.
It's just a story without
Superman
baggage,
story.
As opposed to the Batman and Robin one, which was
a story.
It was an origin. It was Robin origin, but it was absolutely completely non-original.
That wasn't even the problem because let's face it, originality in superhero comic books isn't normally something you find. But
1999.
Well, I mean, occasionally it's there, but you know, originality is not the strong suit. It's the stories, but that wasn't Batman. It's like one of the Sin City guys.
Well, I don't mean originality in terms of style, but I mean an original story is something, or a way to tell a story in a different way. I mean, one of the Superman for All Seasons, for example, was an example of an origin story that was told in an original style that was very good. That was a stripped down style.
True.
It can be done. It takes good writers.
And Frank Miller is a good writer. Just I don't
exactly.
He's
which
sort
is
of,
what disappointed me even more.
He sort of seems. He seems like he's cracked since starting his own books, and he can only do that, and he can't sort of. He can't
get in the mind of another person's character.
I don't think he can anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, Dark Knight Returns 2 and All Star Batman Robin.
Don't even
just
remind.
Weird. So. This is another cracked writer, Grant Morrison, but usually cracked in a good way, taking on Superman, which I'm excited about because one of my favorite Supermans of all time was the JLA Superman from Grant Morrison's run in the mid-90s.
Which, as a non-DC person, I thought was a great run. It was like I take that run out every once in a while and read it all the way through because it was so good.
Well, that run single-handedly is responsible for probably Josh being here today and...
Wow.
Because that's in college where we all met, freshman year, I turned a bunch of guys on to comics with that run, with the JLA books, and then those guys turned around and turned Josh back on to comics. And then
you indirectly helped
now
Josh.
Now we're all here.
Yeah. Actually, the first thing that I read with any sort of regularity back then was, and I had read comics before that.
Back on the smack.
Was JLA Year One by Mark Waid.
Right.
That was actually my drug. Because at that point, JLA, with the Grant Morrison series, which was very good, was on like 2022, something like that.
It was by the end, because that was senior.
And I had no idea what the hell was going on. I went back and read them from the beginning later, and they were excellent. But
but you wouldn't have had those books to read of Steve and Jared's if I hadn't have given them JLA freshman year.
I understand. Yeah. So I'll give you credit.
No, I'm just saying this is.
No, it's all right. You want credit? It's fine.
I do want credit.
You're the greatest.
Some sort of medal, perhaps a plaque,
recognition or something.
Yes. I get so very little of it in my life on a daily basis.
You got a foot rub coming, buddy.
Okay.
It's coming hard.
Excellent. So I'm really excited. I mean, there's not a lot that happened in this first issue. It's sort of a setup as any sort of 9-part story is, but I like Grant's sort of. He seems to get sort of the bigness of Superman. You know, every writer seems to come on and fill him with all this self-doubt and just personal issues because they seem to have no other idea how to make him relatable. I think Grant goes the other way in terms of making him sort of the godlike figure that he kind of would be.
And how other people deal with him?
Right. But, I mean, that's not what the story's about, but you get that sort of sense of him in the story.
The problem with a Grant Morrison story that starts off really good
is it often spirals out of control.
It's possible.
I picked the filth number one as my pick of the week, and by the issue four, I had dropped it completely.
I dropped it after issue two.
You know what's great is that you two, like last week, we talked about it. Ron's like, well, if you buy number one, it's like a commitment. I bought every issue of the filth,
hoping against hope.
Isn't that like
better?
The honest thing? Like you buy Robin and his dog hound friends, and you've got to buy the whole run. Me, I go for the filth, and because I'm like, well, you know, it's quality work. They're really pushing the. I had no idea it was like talking poop and the mouse and a Soviet monkey who killed Kennedy. It was crazy.
And Connor and I, the two completists, dropped it early on.
It made my brain hurt, and not in a good hurt. It was a bad hurt.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And also, I say another strong suit for this book is the art of Frank Quitely.
Yeah.
Who,
he's good.
Finished it on time, did he?
He finished it on
probably
time.
Not.
And it just his art is so different from almost every other superhero art out there. That's just
Lois have any tight pants on?
Although I mean, but after the you know after the Authority and
no tight pants
X-Men,
but short skirt.
And all the stuff he did, I mean, like, the blobby thing in the beginning to me was just kind of like, oh, one of those again. You know, I don't know. Just, I mean, his the art was very good, but it's also kind of getting, you know, I don't know.
You mean the creature?
Yeah, the creature thing. It just seemed like I saw that before, you know, that design.
He does
you know,
great
which I know
faces,
I haven't,
though.
You know. Yeah, he does the great faces. What do you? What did you think of Willy Wonka?
The movie?
No, the guy in the book.
Oh, the jacket. The guy with the jacket.
Yeah, the guy with the rainbow jacket and the cane.
Well, the crux of the story is Superman helps out these, as I described them in the Pick of the Week review that's on the website, Grant Morrison-esque super scientist superheroes. So they're kind of wacky in that sense. One guy looks like Willy Wonka, sort of. I never heard of these guys before, so I don't know if he's made them up or...
Frank Whiteley actually draws while he watches DVDs a lot of times.
Oh, really?
Really?
You're making that up.
I'm so deadpan. How deadpan are you?
Well, he looked, I mean, like this guy, I mean, like that whole sequence where he's talking to the scientist guy was really the only one to me that felt out of place, that felt kind of, oh, here's Grant Morrison being different.
Yeah, it was a bit weird. I think the interesting part more comes out from what they talk about, not the conversation itself. What?
Yeah, no, yeah, I agree.
I mean, it's sort of an interesting tweak on Superman, which is, well, I guess since it's Friday, Josh hasn't bought it, but it's a story I don't think I've ever read before that has to deal with Superman.
Right.
And it's not so much about the wacky Morrison scientist as it is what they tell him.
Well, as far as you know, in the first
issue. As far as
I
know,
yeah.
It is the first issue, and... It could go downhill very quickly from here.
And I mean, I thought it was interesting that you said that not a lot happened when I felt like a lot had happened. I mean, you had basically, you know, kind of the establishment of what the plot was, you know, all the stuff with Luthor and the stuff with the scientist, and then you had the big kind of finish, which was a huge moment, which I was almost kind of sad to see happen in the first issue. I mean, and it kind of ties, and I mean, are we going to go spoiler-free, or how are we dealing with spoilers here?
Josh, are you planning on buying this?
Don't listen now.
Yeah, if you're concerned about spoilers, stop. Go on to shuffle.
I don't care.
At the end, it ends with the. I mean, oh, Connor, you can explain it. It's your
well, book. Right. It's we'll just go through the whole issue with what he does. Is he helps his
page?
I don't
want to
know. I changed my mind. Page one, doomed planet. But he helps his scientists gather some samples from the sun and ends up overloading his cells with solar energy, which causes the cells to. Start behaving like normal cells, so he's basically dying like the rest of us are.
So he got skin cancer.
No, he's just, you know, he's Superman.
Okay,
he's
technically, that's the root of the idea. Superman, what, can Superman get a sunburn? I don't know, what if he did?
Well, right. It's not even that so much as his cells are breaking down now like normal cells, and it may be even quicker because of this exposure to the radiation, but now
listen,
he's...
I know sunburns, that's
his basically,
sunburn.
That's
yeah, you
pale
sunburn.
Irish bastard. Yeah. He's, he's dying. Which is sort of the seems to be the main point of the story.
Apoptosis has begun.
Right. And the prologue, the epilogue, which Ron's talking about, since this is a continuity-free Superman, is his revelation to Lois that he's Superman.
Which is similar to a conversation Josh and I were having earlier in the day, actually, about...
I told him that I was actually Batman.
And I was floored. No, but we're talking about kind of romance plots in TV shows and movies and things like that, and about how a lot of the enjoyment is the buildup of that, and the moment that you kind of cross over, it can kind of go sour. And I don't
well, sure know, the moonlighting thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I think it's still a little different than what I was saying though. Because, I'm sorry, there's probably something to do with it. But no, but I was saying the will they or won't they thing is just like right. Okay, great, I get it. It's been done a billion times.
Yeah, it's overdone.
Right.
And
yeah.
It's
no,
never
and,
done
and,
better. Okay, I'm gonna.
Well, no, and Grant Morrison might have a different take on Superman telling Lois that he's Superman, and that we've never seen before. And I we'll hold jury out until the last issue of the series.
A story about like Peter reveals he's Spider-Man. Like,
yeah,
Peter. Everybody in the world knows that Peter Parker's Spider-Man. And the thing is, taking that out of continuity doesn't really add anything,
right?
Well, it doesn't have to. It doesn't necessarily have to break new ground. It may just. I think he's sort of. He seems to want to be writing the early Superman. You know, not the married Superman.
I wish I had invented computers.
The boring Superman. who, as a side note, has the same thing that happened to Peter Parker when he got married happened to Superman, when it just made them completely right. boring. But anyway, he seems to be one to write the clumsy Clark Kent, the, you know...
Yeah, like we didn't even get... We got a taste of clumsy Clark Kent.
Which was very well done, I thought.
Which was great, which I think, honestly, I mean, and Wizard has pointed this out in every issue for the past, like, 4 months, but how, you know, Quitely is visually drawing Clark Kent different from Superman and the hunch and, you know, and, like, how he's, you know, clumsy and all that kind of deal.
I'm a big fan, though. I think it works is if you make the Clark Kent suit a little too small. No, that's how Chris Reeve did it. Oh, his suit really? Was like a little too small. Like if he leaned over, it was just gonna pop off. Which to me is a sexy image. But anyway,
but we literally only got maybe 3 pages of that.
Right.
I'm married.
And there was no speculation as you know Superman's here. Where's Clark? You know that whole kind of thing. Which is
well, that's also overdone yeah. too. It's just right. I'm just more saying the era he wants to write seems to be the era of the early.
Do they even bother with that anymore?
Not really.
I mean, like, when was the last time someone was like, you know, that Bruce Wayne fellow always seems to be gone?
Yeah, no, I don't think they.
No,
really
they don't really do that anymore.
It's time for some more of those stories. That's
yeah,
gonna be
I mean,
my,
I,
gonna,
you, I mean, that, I mean, not that. To, I mean, to go back
He's
to the kind of
again.
Thing, but like, you know, Spider-Man was great when he was so alone in the fact that he was Spider-Man, and now that everybody and their brother knows it, you know, it's like, you know.
He's got a team. He lives in Stark Tower. He's got a right. supermodel wife.
But even in Ultimate Spider-Man, there's like 17 people who know he's Spider-Man. It just doesn't flow with the whole secret identity. Maybe secret identity isn't realistic, but you know.
Another point I had about Superman that I brought up in my review, which we can discuss, is I think one of the biggest problems with Superman comics, actually, as we mentioned in a previous broadcast or podcast, as they say, there's a lot of Superman fans. You see a lot of people who are sort of obsessed. There's a lot of Superman tattoos, Shaquille O'Neal, Bon Jovi, people like that. You know, it's sort of cultural. He resonates culturally, but the comics are kind of lame most of the time. the creators are hamstringed because he is Superman, and what bigger corporate icon is there for DC Comics, for comic books in general, for Time Warner, who makes a lot of money off of Superman? You can't really take many chances.
That's why
you can't really
do
anything interesting with Superman because
that's
you
why
can't
one of the most interesting
the
one of the most interesting things I've ever read with Superman was in Dark Knight Returns,
right?
Where they basically Superman was like a stand-in for Reagan.
It was a government laptop,
a lackey,
but,
yeah.
But that's what also I mentioned was you often get the most interesting Superman in the Elseworlds books, and at the time that's in Elseworlds books, but you can't get him in the regular pages because I think they can't do a lot with him, and that sort of makes for a not for interesting stories. When you're worried about, you know, they've got a humongous movie coming out next summer, which...
is going to make or break, you know, kind of their movie plot, you know.
Right, but at the same time, you can't really do much to a character whose back rides this, you know, all this money.
Yeah,
right,
but he's paying
attention. You can't make him gay. Or, like, something that changes the way the character is perceived by
people. Paying attention to the comic books, though. You could do whatever the hell you want in the comics.
No,
books.
You can't.
Well,
and I've read
about when he died. Think about when he got married in all the 90s. I mean,
but they made a story out of that, so people would go out and buy the comic. That was the point.
Yeah, but I've read.
One day, in the comic book, Superman comes out as a big flaming queen, and if the movie was to come out next week and he's not a flaming queen, people would go, "Oh, I see. It doesn't actually matter."
No, I've read stories where. Like, one of the whole reasons, going back to somebody who's been all over iFanboy this week, Aquaman, one of the main reasons the Aquaman book even exists is because he's a corporate entity that appears in the cartoon. I mean, there's so much synergy amongst all the different divisions, they can't really tarnish their images too much.
But what about, but think back to the Electric Superman. I mean, that was, how many years was he Electric? And two, and there were two Supermans. I mean, that was a radical thing that, you know, admittedly didn't work, but they tried it, you know, so...
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is that the corporation, the people who work on Superman, DC Comics might think that's true. But really, in reality, as far as, like, a consumer marketplace goes, you could do whatever the hell you want in these books. It wouldn't affect the other products at all, because 100 million people or whatever went out to see Spider-Man the movie, but 12 people bought the comic book.
Right, but that's thinking logically, since when does logic come into play with corporate... decisions.
Well, if I was in charge.
I just think whether or not that, whether or not it's logical or whether or not it makes sense, I think that's the case, and I think it leads for a lot of boring stories.
Well, what they need then is a – well, I mean, I would be interesting to see what would happen if there was like an editor overall who went, you know what, let's just go make our books and make them real good, a la the – I don't know what.
Well, Marvel can do that with their characters because they're not corporately owned, but DC is in a bind.
Well, Marvel's a public company.
Yeah, but they're not off the Time Warner makes movies with their
right,
characters.
Right, no, but Marvel just spun off and started their movie studio. They're no longer going to be linked to movie studios. They're going to be making their own movies and then
right, but ultimately they're in charge.
Following the Lucas model and then having the studios distribute them.
Right, you're proving my own point. Ultimately, they're in charge of their own characters.
Whereas... Right, but they're not going to make a sacrifice in the comics to sacrifice one. They're not going to make a change in the comics which might negatively impact their movie properties.
They did previously. They did that to Nick Fury when he had that Garth Ennis series a few years ago. They stopped that because they got complaints from because there was a Nick Fury movie in development with George Clooney
right.
attached.
So you just proved my point.
I said they will do that.
So they would now they'll keep on going with a modified Nick Fury character or.
Well, they're saying that they will compromise the comic in favor of the film.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's my ultimate point, is that they...
Which is his problem with is what DC is doing, too.
Right.
Right.
Because the film is a billion times more valuable than the comic book, so...
Right.
Plus, Superman's an icon. He's the superhero, you know?
Yeah, you made a good point when you said he was the, he's not just the flagship for DC, he's the flagship for superheroes, which is true.
Exactly, yeah.
Except no one cares about him.
Well, that's not true.
That's not true at all.
Superman has a lot of cultural relevance.
I'm sorry. I say nobody cares about him, I mean nobody cares about the comic books.
Right. Well, that's yes.
When was the last time like oh, there's an amazing run of Adventures of Superman going on?
Not long. Yeah. It's been a long time.
And there's been stunts. There's like we're putting all these people on the books.
And I keep falling for him, and then Jeff Loeb and Joe Casey and all those guys, and nothing.
And so when was the last time the Superman books mattered? I mean, like, was it Burns, 1986?
Matter in terms of quality, and yeah. I would say that's probably been. It's been that
what
long.
Was the gist of that story?
It was the post-crisis rebooting of Superman, so putting him into a modern for 1986, context.
But was there like Dark Knight Returns as Batman comes back from retirement to beat the punks? Like, was there an overarching theme?
Was it an origin?
Man of Steel was the origin miniseries, which led to the series, which was just, excuse me, there's no overarching theme in a series that, a monthly series. Excuse me, but it was just solid storytelling, solid retelling. Okay. They depowered him because the pre-crisis Superman was
godlike.
Unbeatable. Yeah. Nothing hurt him, and they sort of powered him down a bit. They made Lex Luthor much more of a corporate villain than the wacky purple suit wearing guy.
And I like the purple suit.
I like the corporate villain.
Yeah, made Lex Luthor more more of a capable villain, and it was a really good run.
On an aside, Superman number 222, or whatever, was the 21. Ranked number 21 in the top 100 comics of October.
21?
Yeah, so he's still in the top 25.
I think it's almost a thought that...
According to
like,
Diamond
how
comics.
Many people go into a comic shop that don't read comics regularly and will go to just say, oh, let's pick out some books for my kid or something? Superman is probably right up there. It's one of the first things you'd pick up.
Yeah.
Right.
And I bet they get a lot of sales on that worldwide. Yep. And so you can always sort of afford to buy some Superman comics, so you can just give them to people. I should buy some comics for little Timmy. Like, we'll buy Superman or Spider-Man.
Right.
Little Timmy wants magic cards.
Timmy wants...
Well, I didn't say Timmy was there. If Timmy was there, he'd say, screw that, moms.
He doesn't want magic cards anymore. He wants the Yu-Gi-Oh cards or whatever the hell they are.
I think you're behind.
Yeah.
Like, magic cards are played out, but I think Yu-Gi-Oh's gone, too.
Something. It's like Yushikishi or something like that. I mean, something I can't pronounce.
I just eat the teriyaki chicken.
So, Ron, I know better than to ask Josh, so I'll ask you, what did you think of this week's comics?
I thought actually this was, as you know, comparatively to last week, which I had on the bulk was a crap load of comics. This week I had all pretty good ones. I actually wanted to ask you, Connor, because you know, in the same theme as Superman, did you pick up the Captain Atom book from Wildstorm?
I did, yes.
And what did you think of that one?
Well, I picked it up off of your pick of the week from last month.
Yep.
So I picked up issue 1 and 2 because 2 came out this week. I liked it.
Yeah.
I kind of, you know, crossovers. We talked a lot about crossovers last week.
This isn't a crossover.
This isn't a crossover. It's more of a character crossover in terms of Captain Atom having no real role in the DC Universe. They ship him off to the Wildstorm universe.
To shake things up.
He got downsized, sent to the farm leagues.
Right.
He got sent to the minors big time, yeah. And he even got... Although they gave him the old Charlton costume that was in Kingdom Come, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, they did.
With no explanation or reason in the book.
Yeah. I like it. It's interesting so far. I'm not sure what they're going to do with it, but...
Issue 2 wasn't as good as Issue 1.
No.
But yeah, so... But the other
fish out of water, you know, superhero fish out of water stories are always nice.
Yeah, I mean, they've gotten on issues to try to make it unique, so we'll see what happens. But it's good. The one book that I read that really stood out was Brubaker on X-Men Deadly Genesis, this little miniseries that has nothing to do with the Decimation crossover, but just other than taking place at the same time, with actually in-continuity references to what's going on in the regular books, which is unique for miniseries.
And you love that.
I love, yeah, continuity. I mean, I know it's lame and easy to make fun of, but, you know, there was a day when you pick up a comic and something happened and there was a little box and they said, see, you know, issue number 72 of Thor, and it was kind of this sense of this universe that everybody lived in. And
I used to love that, except it bankrupted my 12-year-old self.
Well, yeah, exactly. But how great was it, though?
That was good as a kid.
It was fun back then, but I think it's antiquated and I don't think it works anymore.
Why not?
There's too many things to get our attention, and it's one thing. If you wanted to be completely involved in comics, you can do that, but it's almost to the exclusion of all other things into the huge bills that come every single month. And I know that like that's a really silly practical concern, and for them, they'd want to do it from a marketing standpoint, but comics back then were 75 cents a piece, and comics now are $3 a piece. So if you want to follow everything, you're spending $20, $30 a week on comics, and you're spending all sorts of time reading it, and there's frankly so much other stuff now to distract you from spending that much time reading comics, then they better be damn good for you to spend all that time on them, and they're frankly not.
Right, yeah, and I could see that. I mean, and there are also a lot more titles now than there were back then,
mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, and part of their, you know, they don't want to be hamstrung by the fact that you have to explain why Wolverine ran by in a Spider-Man comic and explain that, you know, because he's in a miniseries and he's in Avengers and, you know, it's kind of hard to keep track of the characters, but it's just, like, just on the first page there, you know, because... In the whole, what happened in X-Men this week, which was awful. Milligan, and I'm going to go on record right now and say I do not like Salvador La Roca as an artist at all.
Really?
He's been on X-Men, and it's just getting worse and worse. It's bad. It looks like animation cells. And Milligan, and I know everybody thinks Milligan is great, and you know, Ecstatics and whatever they were called after, you know, or X-Force then Ecstatics.
I don't know what they were called after I dropped the book.
Right, yeah, exactly, because it was just, and he's just not doing a good job. But in that book, it carried on the Decimation crossover, and now, like, because the government's concerned about the X-Men, they just parked a Sentinel right in front of the school to watch them. And so now in Brubaker's book, right on the first page, there's the Sentinel and Cyclops and Beast talking about it. And then
Cyclops morose.
Yes.
Want it?
No. He's concerned that there's a Sentinel just hovering there watching them, and he doesn't like it. So, within 3 pages, they're right into whatever this miniseries is about, which had nothing to do with the Decimation storyline, and it fits in nicely in Brubaker. I don't read a lot of Brubaker. I've read his Complete Loser trade, and I read Sleeper, so I don't read a lot of his other stuff, but This was really good.
He's really good. He's a really good writer.
It's so good that it makes me want to read. You know, Connor, you were telling me about the Captain America stuff he does, right?
Yes, his Captain America is excellent.
Yeah, so I might look into those. But yeah, so that was good.
His Gotham Central's better.
That's true.
I don't read any Batman.
I don't
I'll
read
check
any
it out.
Captain
eventually.
America either.
I'll check it out eventually.
I'm going to get it for you for Christmas. You'll have
Thank
to.
You. Thank you.
Ron, I know from talking to you previously, you have some thoughts on this week's Ultimate Spider-Man. Do you care to share them?
Oh, I haven't read it yet.
You said it's sort of... you said to me that it was sort of Powers like.
Oh yeah, it was funny because we were talking about how Powers is kind of like, oh, it's the same old, same old. Mm-hmm. Ultimate Spider-Man's kind of getting there too.
I've nearly dropped it many times.
It's like the Bendis effect now. We're at issue 86, don't get me wrong, there are issues that are really good, like the last arc with we talked about it with Shang-Chi and Moon Knight and Elektra and Black Cat and all that. That was really good moments, but like and I know this is the first issue of this arc, but like I was just like, oh, okay, he ditched school, and okay, he's fighting somebody, and
Aunt May is upset with him. How will he tell her?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And so it's kind of like, oh, kind of a bit ho-hum, you know? It's kind of so good that it's not really surprising. Or
well, it's not – see, that at a certain point, though, it's not so good that it's boring, because if you're doing the same thing over again, that's originality. I mean, you could do something really well, and you keep doing it over and over again. Who cares? Well, if Michael Jordan ran down the court and dunked the ball the exact same time every time, they'd stop making posters.
Well, no. Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, like, the Ultimate Spider-Man, it was, you know, 10 times better than the Punisher that I read last week, you know? But – similar to, you know, like Runaways number 10 came out this week, and I would say this second season of Runaways by Brian Vaughn has been, you know, kind of disappointing in that it doesn't really, you know, like that first series was fantastic and so different, and this has kind of just been more of the same, and it's not really as engaging as that first one was.
Well,
so
anything that's really good that you start off in the beginning, nothing is ever going to be as good. Not nothing is ever, but it's very, very, very rare for something to be as good as the sort of first meeting the people and learning about them and their sort of first shots to get, you know, like the
right.
The first season
like that
of
first,
a great
it's
TV show.
Well,
especially
like that first time.
If there's no growth, I mean, Peter Parker and also Spider-Man really hasn't grown much. I mean, he's sort of the same guy he was. I mean, we're 86 issues in, and he's basically the same guy he was in issue
one. He's slightly more moody now.
Slightly, but, I mean, really...
Same height, though.
Yeah, I mean...
The fact is, it's funny, because it's been, like, how many years? It's like 80
four,
issues?
5 years, 4 or 5 years.
Four or 5 years. He's out of high school now.
Yeah, but he's not.
I know, but he should be.
Right.
It's just
I mean, obviously, you don't have to use that rule, but...
I mean, right. It's sort of like, okay, here's the bad quips, and here's this, and... you know, it's just... Something. He's the same.
I don't
character.
Think I'm gonna. I don't know how long I'm gonna keep going with that book.
Well, I would. If I were you, I would carry on at least to like issue 104 or so, because that's the isn't that the mark of Lee and Kirby and Fantastic Four for the self-contained run, and the fact that Bendis and Bagley have been on this since issue.
It's
one.
It's very impressive that they've.
Yeah,
come
so
far,
I would
especially
stick with
since
just that.
When the Ultimate Lines.
Why
Ron predicted.
If I don't like reading it, what the hell do I care?
Yeah, no, Connor's right. I did not like the Ultimate Line when it started, and it won me over.
And he said it would not last, and here we
yes,
are.
Yes, I did predict like what happened to the Tsunami Line, that it would be gone within 3 issues. And
we've just had a Family Matters moment.
It was good.
We all just learned something.
No, do you still read Ultimate X-Men?
Yes, I do.
Really?
Yep.
That's good.
That is good.
Do you have every issue of Ultimate X-Men?
Yes, I do.
I do too.
He hated it. He
yeah,
would
I did.
Tell us
oh,
every week.
You hated
like
it in the beginning. I forgot about
and
that.
And you bought every one.
I know.
You hated yeah, it with a spitting bird.
Oh, I loathed it. And
why in the world would anyone listen to your opinion? Because they know you're going to buy it anyway. You're
well,
like
that's
the customer
not true.
Who comes. No, you're like the customer who comes into Best Buy and be like, "This is terrible. I'm never buying anything here again. I'll take 3 monitors, please." Like, there's no.
Well, a part of it is that I was just so kind of, insulted and frustrated by them ruining these characters that I had grown to love.
Okay,
but...
let's not lie. The whole reason you've got it is because there's an X in the front of the title.
No. Honestly, I will tell you that the reason why I got it now is out of curiosity to see how they handle the existing characters. Like when the story arc about Longshot. Longshot's a character that I've always had an affinity for and liked. And I was like, okay, well, how are they gonna bring him into the Ultimate Universe? That's honestly, that is the only reason why I continue to read it is more curiosity as to how they're gonna expand.
You don't like it then?
You just said it was good though.
No, it's gotten better. It's better than when it first started. Well, my whole problem with it was that it just felt, when it first started, it just felt so rushed, and part of the X-Men was admittedly that 40 years of continuity, that evolution, and how, you know, the team is small, and then it grows and grows and grows, and they just kind of dived right into, like, the movie world, where there's, you know, tons of mutants all over the place, and Xavier's is established, and all this kind of thing, and it just felt too quick for me.
You know what was not very good was Ultimate Vision, the bonus story in the back of Spider-Man.
Oh, the Ultimate Vision was awful.
That was pretty terrible.
Oh,
they think anybody cared about an Ultimate Vision?
I was shocked.
It's the lead into the whole Galacticus storyline.
Oh,
you know,
who cares?
But,
anyway. I saw on the front, it said bonus Ultimate Vision story inside, and I said to myself, really?
Ultimate Quicksilver.
I mean, I don't mind him
Ultimate
popping
D-Man?
Up in the Ultimates, but as a headlining feature...
Let's, too.
Let's not go over the top here.
And she looks like the Metropolis robot.
Yeah, it does.
The Vision's a girl?
Yes.
That'll shake him up.
It was originally a man, like a robot made to look like a man, but then it puts itself back together as a woman.
Let's make the Rawhide Kid gay. It'll work.
Let's give the Vision boobies. So, I don't know. But
what if he's black? What if Captain America's black?
Oh, we don't know how that went. Although, actually, that led to they used that in Young Avengers very well, how the Star-Spangled Kid in Young Avengers is a descendant of the black Captain America. So that was – I mean, I don't know if that was – it wasn't intended originally. But
Bill Gemmis, you evil genius, you've succeeded.
You know, one book that I bought that actually made me think of Josh in terms of new and different was I picked up Brian Wood's Local number 1 by Oni, published by Oni. That was really good and really – you know, not superhero, kind of more towards the indie bent and black and white, but it was really, really good. Just, you know, he did that whole whole demo comics last year, which was 12 issues, and it was a single story in each issue. Like, there wasn't no continuity or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's what this one is, and I guess the premise of this is, you know, it's a girl with her boyfriend, and the boyfriend's pressuring her to try to get a prescription that's filled, a forged prescription. And she just goes through her head the different scenarios that can happen, and throughout the comic, you just see 4 or 5 different scenarios until you finally see the one that she does. And I don't know, it was just really, really good, and the art was really good, and the storytelling was great.
Was it his art?
No, it wasn't. It was Ryan Kelly did the art. So, and the title of this story was 10,000 Thoughts Per Second.
Not a big Brian Wood fan.
I like him. I don't know. I mean,
I have like a couple of things he did, and I don't know. Maybe it's just not my style.
Yeah.
I mean, it's indie. He's trying stuff. Way to go. I mean, I applaud that. But
it may be
that he's just sort of part of that old Warren Ellis crowd, and I just.
Well, yeah. I try to separate from that, but not judge him from that.
Josh has been bitter.
Yeah, it's a skinch. But next time I see you, Josh, I'll lend you the demo issues because they were really good. I mean, single stories, or if you can see them and pick them up. I mean, they were just. It was one of the things that I look forward to every month.
Who published those?
Demo was published, I think, by Larry Young.
Ah.
Yeah.
So that guy has a lot of range.
Planet Lar.
They do have a lot of...
Yeah,
AIT. I believe it would be Lair.
Larry.
Josh, what would you have bought this week had you had the wherewithal?
I think I had like 4 books. And...
You were telling me earlier that you... Now that you're leaving your comic store to go to a new store closer to your house, you could go to the new store to pick up new books.
I could.
No, because isn't the old store holding your books?
They're only holding the ones that I have a subscription to.
New books such as All-Star Superman, he could pick
right,
up.
Right, but I did that, yeah.
Or local
I asked
number
him
one.
For a copy, so he was already holding me one. So.
They're in
I didn't book. Think about that until after I sent my list in to him.
I see.
Because I send him a list every week.
He probably
Green Lantern. Would have got Green Lantern. I think I would have bought the All-Star Superman. I definitely will now.
Green Lantern was stinky.
Green Lantern has been a big disappointment.
Big disappointment.
So I won't
Huge.
Buy Green Lantern. See that?
You have to. You've got the tattoo. You're forced to buy
Yeah,
the
you
comic.
Have to. You should be buying everything with the Green and Lantern in the title.
This is Corpse. Why. This is why you and I, you two and I feel differently because I figure that since I have this tattoo, then I should only buy the stuff that's good because anything else is like an insult.
Let us explain. Josh has the Green Lantern logo tattooed on his arm. A college decision.
It's so butch. Ultimate Spider-Man Runaways. That's it.
So you would have had a good week had you read anything.
Yeah, I had four or five things. I'm so sad.
Did you ever make it through your big chunk of 3 weeks worth of books that you bought?
Oh, yeah, I usually read them within that weekend. I have a little stack here if you'd like to know. But it was mostly just like the stuff that's going on now is Lucifer, which is one of my favorite titles that nobody reads and there's nobody to talk to about it, is sort of wrapping up. It's right at the end.
Hey, our friend Patrick reads it.
Right. Well,
you turned him on to it. He reads it.
You could talk to him about it.
All right, I got to go.
You could call him once in a while.
I'm going to call Patrick. Hey, how was Lucifer? It was good. Yeah, I really liked how the devil did that. That was good.
You just said you've got nobody to talk to about it.
We just made a comics connection, and you just throw it back in our face.
I'm just... Oh, my Lego TIE Fighter just fell down. Smashed everywhere.
Wow. And your dignity just came falling behind it.
Oh, it's kind of cool, because now I get to put it back together.
Oh, boy. And you make fun of us for reading all the superhero books.
Yeah, look who's coming out of this one looking cool. He's got a Green Lantern tattoo, and his Lego TIE Fighter fell apart. It was a gift, damn it. It was a good gift.
You still put it together.
Have you built Legos? It's more fun now than when you were a kid. You know it, too. I'm sending you a Lego Naboo fighter.
Great. I get a prequel, Chip. Thanks.
That's because you were being a jerk about it. If you were nice, I would have sent you a snowspeeder, but no.
Oh, I love the snowspeeders.
Exactly.
All right, well, if you want to check out more reviews or read my full review of All-Star Superman or discuss the podcast or discuss anything you want, this week...
Literally.
This week it's been all about Aquaman and Smallville and Harry Potter. So we cover the wide range of topics. You can go to ifanboy.com and check us out there.
And if you have the desire or need to tell us anything urgently or have any questions, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com.
I can't find a piece.
you're totally screwed now if they fell over and they're everywhere.
Probably the most important piece of overall the other.
Well, it didn't fall apart. It didn't, like, shatter into a million chunks, but it fell into, like, seven or eight chunks and then a couple of little tiny pieces. So the structural integrity is just shot.
You know, you should, when you put it back together, you should spray it with, like, epoxy or something to keep it all together.
And then I couldn't build all the other stuff that's featured on the back of the box.
When was the last time you took it apart to build the other stuff on the back of the box?
Never, but the ability to do it there. The major soul is
back! Well, that happened.
Let those who worship evil's might beware my power. Green Lantern's light.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing. You should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.